And we're going to talk about a few things. And this is for you, but it's also for your friends and your families. It's also for those acquaintances, also for those that are online. It'll benefit them too as well. You say, oh, I thought you just preached to us. I do preach to you, but you know what? I understand there's a girth in the land of biblical preaching today as well. I'm not the only guy preaching. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we understand that, hey, when I get contacts from people all over the country and all over the world, I had a guy contact me from like the Netherlands or Holland the other day. He's like, Pastor Cooley, I listened to all your sermons. Happy birthday. It was my birthday yesterday. So he said, happy birthday. I listened to all your sermons. Well, okay, amen. He said, they're a blessing. He said, there's not much like that around here. He's in Holland or someplace. I'm like, I'll start a church in Holland. Man, I'm just kidding. But what's that? Wooden clogs? All right, I'll wear those anyway. But that's exactly what. But praise the Lord. He said that. We listen. So people listen all over the world. You know that. So I want this to be a help to people, because what I've heard this week is very sad, and I happen to believe that some of this can be avoided. I believe all of that can be avoided. I believe that. And I'm not, again, I want you to understand this, because I know what the devil will do to me if I don't have God's protection. So I want you to understand something. I don't trust my own flesh. I don't trust me to make my marriage stronger, my family stronger. I am 100% dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ to protect me. And I'll hide behind Him and let Him try to get through the Lord. But we've got to fight with the sword. We've got to fight. And that means that you and I are watching and we're alert and we're ready to fight. Every day is a battle. Every situation is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual fight. And we've got to win the battle. And we got to win to win the war, we got to win the battles. One battle at a time. You know, it's like discipline in the home and trying to get your children in line, everything else. It's one day at a time, one battle at a time. If you let one little battle slip and go and you let it pass, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you kick the can down the road. I've heard too much of that this week, and I believe that's one of the problems. I believe kicking the can down the road is one of the problems that will cause this to happen. I've seen it, not just this week, but I've seen it where if we kick the can down the road and don't deal with something, you're going to look at the federal government, what they're doing. They're kicking the can down the road. They keep kicking it down the road. Our debt, we can't pay back our debt, and we're not going to. We're going to default on it anyway. Come on, we know we're going to do that. Anyway, but they're kicking the can down the road to a bigger mess, and it grows and grows and grows and grows. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's pray. Father, I need you. Lord, I pray your protection. Father, I pray that you'd, with the word of God, Lord, and the power to resist the devil, Lord, that he would flee from us, Lord, he'd be nowhere near us, that, Lord, you'd protect us, that you'd guide us, that you'd direct us, you'd give us your understanding. Lord, I'm fully aware I've never heard anything like this before really touched or talked about. I'm sure there's somebody out there that is. But Lord, I just pray, Father, that you please would help us. Lord, protect our families. Dear God, be our strength, be our guide, be our shield. Lord, our great reward. Help us to seek after you, to seek after your word. Help us to fall in love with your word, Lord. Help us to look at that Bible and pick it up and it to be everything to us, Lord. And to walk in that spirit, Lord, that we've been saved by. Dear God, we need you, Lord. The devil's after our families. He's after our homes. He's after our churches, Lord. He's devouring our nation. Dear God, he's devouring families today. I pray, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that you'd immerse us in your power today and you'd give us some clarity and understanding, Lord. Let the word of God go forth with much power and boldness, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number, let's start with number 24 here. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Now, notice this, though, but, he says, but, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Now, I want you to concentrate on the last part of that verse. I haven't really heard anybody preach on that. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. I've heard it preached on that a little bit. But I believe personally, I've never heard someone preach along these lines about the trouble in the flesh that comes with remarriage. There is a trouble in the flesh that will come with remarriage. When a man is divorced or a woman is divorced and they get remarried, there is trouble in the flesh that comes. I want to talk about some of that trouble in the flesh that will come. There's a lack of teaching on this, I believe. There's a lack of direction for people to understand. I think if people were equipped with this when it does come time, let me first lay this out here for you, okay? I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. I say it is good for man so to be. Now, they were under present persecution. So Paul is saying, hey, if you can hang on and you can be a virgin, you can live your life and die without a wife, well, then have at it. Do that, you know, if you can do that. That's what he's saying. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. What he's saying here is, he's saying that, you know what? But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. He's saying that, you know what? If you do get remarried, if your divorce was a biblical divorce, which there is one, and I know my fundamentalist brethren don't like to admit that. They tend to read a few Bible verses and not the whole Bible on the subject and get an understanding of it. However, I want to say first and foremost that I believe that two saved people, once they get married, they ought to stay married. Amen. They ought to stay married their whole life, and they ought to die together in each other's arms. That's the way that God intends it to be. However, the Bible does say that there are people that get married and then the ones not saved, and they wreak havoc. We understand that. I've seen that. Bible says if you tell it unto the church, and if you won't listen to the church over and over again, then you count him as a heathen and a publican. What does that mean? It means you look at that guy and you say, well, you ain't even saved, pal. You don't love the Bible. You don't love God. You don't want to follow the scriptures. You're a heathen and a publican. You're not even saved. Go then. They depart, let them depart. By the way, you can depart without leaving. Did you know that? I've heard men tell their wives for years, just get out, just get out, just get out, just get out. I don't want to be married no more. I don't want to be married no more. But then they use it as a mind control game. I'm telling you, there's sick people out there. Now, they are devil possessed. Understand that. They are. There's plenty of those out there. And they play these games with people, with people's minds. I always get a kick out of people that aren't sympathetic to people that go through that. But if you go through it and you see the woman wanting to die because of this, and you see the mind games that are played, then you won't, you won't be a Pharisee about it. You'll get over your pharisaicalism and you'll look at somebody and you say, you know what, you'll have compassion for them and say, you know what, I'm telling you, God had compassion for them. Why do you think he said for the hardness of their heart he wrote a bill of divorcement? Not for the hardness of the one that was left, like Brother Ickes, who's taking care of some baby that's not his. Then all of a sudden, this woman, she won't stop. She's going to pretty much bring home a disease to him and his kids. What do you do? What do you do? You do what the Bible says. That's what you do. You follow the Word of God. Anyway, now, does that mean that we're loose on divorce? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't know anybody that preaches harder on marriage, on preventing those things, on the family, on the headship, on the man being a man, than we do. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that's our heart here. We don't have a heart to just tell people, oh, just get a divorce if it don't work. We don't do that. We may be accused of doing that, but I'd like the guy that believes that to say that to my face. I really would. You tell me that to my face. We'll sit down with the Bible and we'll talk about it then. Because we don't believe that. We never have. By the way, when I preach on these things, I'm not preaching because I got a dog in the fight. I've never been divorced. Okay? Thank God. I've never been through that. I don't have a desire to divorce. I love my wife. She's my best friend. I'm thankful to God for her. So by God's grace, I'll be married to her till I'm dead. Amen? So I'm not looking for a way out. I'm not looking for an excuse. I'm not looking for anything. It's Bible. It's Bible. But I also understand that you can't go above God's word and put stringent. You know, that's what the Pharisees did. They had their own law that they wrote. Did you know that? When Christ came, they had their own law that they wrote. So they weren't, when Christ said, but I say unto you, you know why he was doing that? Because they had their own book that they had written. And they had a separate book. That's why he calls them the synagogue of Satan. I'm not done with that. I'm going to preach on that. There's a synagogue of Satan, a generation of vipers, you serpents, you vipers. What is he saying? He's saying they're of Satan. They're Satanists. They're Luciferians. And they were in the Jewish temple. Boy, that's one you haven't heard before. I guarantee you. You won't hear it from your pro-Zionist friends. They won't talk about the truth of that. They will not talk about that. But anyway, that's another day. But that's what they did. They had their own separate law. We are not allowed to do that, folks. Just because if you have a zeal for righteousness, which we do, it doesn't mean that we can go above the law and say and above God's word and put things stringent on people that the Bible doesn't do. You got to be careful about that, man. I'm telling you, you'll drive people away from the Lord doing that. I've seen people do that in churches. They'd invite bus kids in and run around. They're putting aprons on them. Trying to change the bus kids' clothes when they come to church. Hey, here's one for you. They ain't supposed to be there, are they? Because if you got to change their outfit and run around and do that and watch their mouths and everything, like that, they ain't supposed to be here. That's not hard to understand, is it? That's pretty simple. You're supposed to go out there and reach them, not turn the church house into a circus. Anyway, that was free. All right. I want to talk about here. So anyway, I just want to say there is a biblical divorce. We've talked about that. There's sermons online about it. I'm not going to go into it any further. But let's get past that point. Let's deal with the reality of the situation where someone is divorced and they're looking to remarry. Because of the things that I have seen over the years in my personal life, not because I've been divorced, but just others around me have, coming from a family that my father was divorced, and understanding, you see some things and you get to understand some things about this. And there's some trouble in the flesh that I believe can come that will come. Now, there's going to be trouble anyway that comes. Understand that. Don't you dare think that after a divorce and a remarriage that there won't be trouble with that. Paul says very clearly, look what he says. He says, nevertheless, he says, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So you're going to have some trouble. Now, he's saying you're going to have some trouble if you're married, too. I mean, if you just get married, you're a virgin, you get married, you have some trouble. Why? Because we're flesh. That's why. Don't you understand? That was the curse of Eve. It wasn't a curse that Eve got on her because she would have to submit to her husband. She was already had to submit to her husband. It was the fact that she would have to submit to a sinner. That's what would come. The fact that her husband was no longer perfect, and God said that your desire shall be unto thee, and to him, and he shall rule over thee. Why is that so bad? Wasn't it like that? Yes, he was her head. Yes, he came from her side. Absolutely. But what was the difference? He's a sinner. And that's going to make trouble in the flesh. No matter how good the man is. No matter how much he loves the Lord. But we're going to concentrate on divorce and remarriage here a little bit. And concentrate on the remarriage portion. And some troubles that will be in the flesh. That will come from that. I do believe, again, that God does allow for that. But there's a warning here to understand that those that remarry, they're going to have some trouble in the flesh. It's going to be there. That does not mean the trouble can't be worked out. That doesn't mean that we can't deny our flesh and follow Christ. Amen. You know, that's the key, isn't it? You see, that's the key. When you deny your flesh, a lot of that trouble goes away. You got to deny self. In marriage, can anyone say that in marriage they don't understand that you have to deny self? I mean, I think wives probably understand that a little bit better than husbands do, because mothers are always denying themselves. Amen. They always are. Because they not only are running around after the children, trying to care for them, but they're also trying to care for a husband, too. So they're spending their lives practicing that, denying themselves in many ways. I believe they do. They do a better job than we do of that. Amen. I believe that. By nature of their position, they do that. They're used to it. you know, mom's used to somebody eating some of her food, and boy, you do that to dad, and he'd be like, hey, get out of my food. Right? Come on, that's true, right? That's the way it is, but mom's used to splitting, okay, I'll share it. I remember the other day, made French toast at the house, and Mandy or Olivia or somebody wanted more, and grandma was like, here you go, you can take one of mine. I mean, just natural. I was like, you ain't getting none of mine. You're gonna get from your grandma. but anyway, that's just, it's natural, you know, for ladies, they do that. That's how they are. But men have to understand too that in a marriage, you've got to deny their stuff. And there are times that you do. There are times that you will buy things for your family and do that, and you won't buy for you. And your wife has to sometimes probably tell you, hey, you need to get some stuff, you know, for you. You need to get some of these things. You need some of this stuff. Because you won't do it. You just don't naturally buy stuff for yourself, you know. You know, maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. But it shouldn't be. You know, a man, he sacrifices for his family. Amen? That's what he does. He must sacrifice for his family. That's sacrificing his body in such cases, working extreme hours sometimes, providing for the family. That's the sacrifice that he must do sometimes. And ladies, don't resent that. He's not doing it because he wants to be away from you. Understand that. He'd rather be sitting home with you and the kids and doing something together as a family. He don't want to go work. He don't want to go. No man, I'm telling you right now, no man wants to go work 60, 70 hours a week and be away from his family. They don't want that. They don't have it. Unless they have unnatural affection and they don't love their family. But I don't know any man that doesn't, when they get out there work, that they enjoy just, oh man, this is great. No. We do it because we have to. That's why. It's done because we have to, not because it's our first choice. Now, men want to work, yes, but if you ask us, would I rather look at a bunch of ugly guys all day or look at my wife? I mean, it's not really a comparison. I mean, I'd rather be home with my wife and my kids. I mean, it should be a no-brainer. But anyway, I don't know how I got on that, but I did. I'm following all kinds of rabbit trails today. Anyway, you poor people have to listen. But I'll tell you something. I want to give you this list because I believe there are a lot of ladies that got themselves into marriages again over and over again at different times, and men that have gotten themselves that would much rather be alone than go through some of the things that they've been through. They'd much rather have not have married at all than have to fight and battle what they fought and battle or what they've been through. You know, they would. Anyway, the first one, a lack of patience. A lack of patience will cause extreme trouble in the flesh. A lack of patience will cause extreme trouble in the flesh. James chapter 1, the Bible says this. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A lack of patience will cause a man or a woman to try to leap into another relationship too soon, and they're not over the one they previously were in. You know, they're not over it, but they jump into one right away. And what it is, it's thinking more with the flesh and the feelings than it is with biblical wisdom and understanding. And nobody wants to be alone. I mean, the Bible says that it's not good for a man to be alone. You know, it's not good that I don't make a help meet for him. So men aren't to be alone. And I don't believe women are meant to be alone. They're meant to care for people. You know, they're meant to love and to care. But a lack of patience will cause a man or woman to try to do that. If a person ends a relationship through the divorce, the first thing they need to do is heal. That's the first thing. A man or woman, the first thing they need to do is they need to heal properly. When your heart's been broken, when it's been stolen, when it's been taken away from you, when it's been damaged, it's going to have to be healed. first. Why? Because I can't give something broken, bitter, and damaged to somebody else. Why? What'll happen? Trouble in the flesh. Trouble. Trouble in the flesh happens if I do that. But this is avoidable trouble. With patience, it's avoidable. I've seen people do this. I've seen them, you know, go out and they're on the rebound, so to speak. They just get over a bad heartbreak. You could apply this to somebody also that's had boyfriends or girlfriends, done things wrong, get saved, wants to get married and do right. You could apply that same thing, that same scenario to that person. So this is not just in one case, but you could apply the same thing to it. Listen, their relationship with the Lord needs to be the most important relationship that they work on. You got to get alone with God and you got to listen to Him. You got to get in His Word and you got to pray and you got to heal. That has to happen. That has to be the case. And if you don't exercise that gift of patience, all right? If you don't exercise that, if you don't exercise that fruit of the Spirit, that patience that is there, then you're going to get in trouble. Because when your heart's not right and it's damaged and you've been through a lot of things and you jump in, you're not going to notice some things. That's why it's important for a lady to have a father to really be doing things scripturally and guide her through different things. Because women can be easily swayed. Easily swayed. I mean, it's very simple to sway a woman. It's very simple to fool them. Look how fast Eve was fooled. The one and only challenge she had, she failed. But a lack of patience will cause that. Patience is a trial of your faith. Because the trial of your faith worketh patience. Everybody has a desire and wants certain things. Everybody has those desires. God understands those. But you better get to know the God of heaven. And you better get to know your Savior. And you better let Him shepherd you and heal you before you enter into another phase of your life and go headlong into it without biblical wisdom, without biblical patience. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 27 says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." What is he saying? They strive for the mastery, to be temperate in all things. That means that I'm holding that back. I'm holding those passions and desires back with temperance. I'm tempering them. That fire that's inside of a man or even inside of a woman, that fire to love somebody, I've got to hold that and temper that back. I don't want that trouble in the flesh to overwhelm me. I don't want to end up ruining somebody else's life in the process. I don't want to do that. I want to be careful. We have to examine ourselves through even a divorce and learn about ourselves. How to be better? Christians. And prepare to be the spouse that God wants us to be in the future. Remarriage should not be the first thing on someone's mind. Being still and hearing from God and allowing the Holy Ghost to minister unto us is very important. It has to be first. Listen, the closer you get to God, the more wisdom you'll have. You got to get with God. You got to get in His Word. You got to have those barriers. You got to have those boundaries. You got to have those set up right. Listen, who's ever hearing this? I'm trying to help you. I don't want you to experience the trouble in the flesh and the heartbreak that goes along with doing things wrong or doing things too quickly. It may not be the wrong thing. It may be the wrong time. Do you understand that? It may not be the wrong person. It may be the wrong time. I think there are some people that if they probably would have waited on God, had patience, didn't push it forward too fast when things weren't exactly the way they should be, that maybe a year later, it would have been right. God would have dealt with that person. That's the wisdom of a father that needs to have that. That father needs to look at it. He say, you know what, son, you're not the, I don't know if you're the wrong man. You might not be, but you know what? We need some time. There's some things that you need to learn. Now, if you'll let me teach you, I'll teach you some things. Now, if that young man says, well, no, I don't think that's true. Okay. Well, I hope you find what you're looking for, young man. You won't find it here. What is that? That's a father taking a proactive approach. It's a father saying, you know what? You might not be the wrong guy. You might be the right guy, but this is the wrong time. Same thing with divorce and remarriage. You've got to have, don't you make the decision yourself, husband, man, or woman. Don't you try to go out and make the decision all by yourself with your own wisdom. You're going to get in trouble. You get some guidance. Now, it should be for a wife especially, a woman especially, a lady, it should be through a father. It should be the dad that does that. You have responsibility. Understand that. But have patience. Patience is important. It'll keep us from experiencing more trouble in the flesh. Amen? Number two, choosing a spouse out of fleshly desires alone will lead to trouble in the flesh. It'll lead to trouble. We must choose a spouse because it's the Lord's will and not merely out of necessity alone. Yes, it's not good for a man to be alone, but you know what? That don't mean you just pick up the first person that you see. You don't try to gravitate to the first person you see. And when all the warning signs are there to stop and you just keep going, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You're doing it for the wrong reasons. As a husband, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible is true when it says it's not good for a man to be alone. God makes a woman for a man to be his wife. I believe that. But we must be following the will of God in order to choose the right one. Love is a choice. It is a choice. We choose to love. This is true, but choose wisely. Choose biblically. Don't choose out of the flesh, out of whims, out of feelings. Choose wisely. Choose biblically. Amen? Otherwise, it's going to haunt you for the rest of your life. Amen? What they believe, what they understand about the Word of God, what they understand about headship, what they understand about families, how many children they want. Maybe they have children, how they believe in discipline. When you're dealing with a blended family, there's a lot of things you're going to have to deal with. You know, a lot of things. There's not a need for this severe trouble in the flesh. You know, you learn to love someone. I don't believe in that Hollywood falling in love thing. You learn to love someone. You learn to love them. You know, that we're taught today, though, that it's just you fall in love with somebody. Not really, you choose to love somebody. And then once you're married, you're not allowed to stop loving them. Because you've made a covenant with God. You made a covenant with God and you have to follow it. Amen. It's a promise with God. It's a covenant with God. Now, it's out of your control if somebody else decides to break that, by the way. You can't beat yourself up for somebody else's sin. That's one of the things about divorce and remarriage that ends up happening is that the person will beat themselves up over somebody else's sin. You know, can I say something to you? I find the hardest person to forgive in the world is myself. I really do. Man, when I wrong somebody, you know, I find the hardest person in the world to forgive is me. They forgive me. I just don't forgive me. I beat myself up over it fiercely. It's one of the problems I have that I have to deal with. But when I mess up or I do something wrong, I'm harder on me than I am anybody else. I really am. And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to boast or anything. I'm just saying that I beat myself up when I mess up. I sit in a room by myself and it just gets me. when I fail God, it just bothers me. It breaks me because, and that's a good thing, but I mean, it just, I can't, you know, if I say something, you know, wrong to my wife or, you know, wrong tone or something, and some of that, I ask her to forgive me and boy, she forgives me, but I'll tell you what, I don't forgive myself. I sit there and I think about it. I was like, there is just no excuse. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost conviction. That's God just convicting you. And that's that sorrow that comes with that along the way that is really hard to take. But that can be avoided. Much of those things can be avoided if we understand the right way to do things. If we follow after righteousness. The longer you're with them, the more you will love them. The more trials you face together, the more you will love them. The more you nurture and care for them, the more you will love them. The more you place Christ first in your marriage and understand His love for us, you'll love her more because love is a command. But if you choose a spouse on the flesh alone and don't find out what they believe about the Word of God, what they believe about the family, the home, children, proper headship, you'll have much sorrow and trouble in the flesh. Much sorrow. But this can be avoided. Much of it can be. There's no need for that severe trouble in the flesh of things because we make bad decisions. We make decisions out of fleshly desires too quickly. Many times a man will think solely about female companionship or the marriage bed and not about what is right in the Lord's eyes. He must be careful and make good decisions. A man must marry to avoid fornication, but he must do it only in the Lord and according to godly principles. You don't want to get ahead of God. Get ahead of God, you're going to get in trouble. You know, we get a lot of trouble. If you think with the flesh, you'll pay for it in the flesh. The Apostle Paul says there'll be much trouble in the flesh because of it.